Welcome back to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry where we're looking at the book of Acts. We're going to look in this session at Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, Paul's future revealed. His third missionary completed, Paul was on his voyage to Jerusalem. After tearing themselves away from the elders of Ephesus, the missionary entourage traveled to the city of Tyre. Let's join in chapter 21. Let's read those first three verses there. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo. There was a Christian community at Tyre in Phoenicia. It probably dated back to the persecution time of Paul as Saul himself. Look at Acts 11, verse 19. It says, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Acts 21 and verse 4 says, and finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. That journey to Jerusalem was a time of transition in Paul's ministry from freedom to arrest. It wasn't the end of his work, but the beginning of a new strategy. God was preparing his servant. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. A natural reaction to God's revelation. Verse 4 was the first of two warnings to Paul in this passage. Curious, the very same Spirit who warned him here drove Paul toward Jerusalem in the previous chapter. Acts chapter 20, verse 16. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Look at verses 22 and 23. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Suffering is a part of ministry. It's Paul's conviction and his teaching. So it's on to Jerusalem and God's purpose, whatever that purpose is. Verses 5 and 6 record the mission team leaving Tyre. Families kneeling together in prayer. They didn't want to lose Paul. It was a very emotional scene, and similar to the one that they had experienced in Ephesus. But in verse 5, when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. Remember in Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, verses 36 to 38, it says, when he had said these things, we knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. So verses 7 to 14 of our passage for this session, we see the second of the two warnings to the apostle. Verse 7, when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And they made a quick stop at Ptolemais to see the Christians there, 25 miles into their journey. The next stop at Caesarea is an interesting one, because Paul's host was Philip, we see in the passage, one of the original seven deacons at Jerusalem. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Remember it said, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. That was in chapter 6 and verse 5. Philip settled in Caesarea. Remember, that's where he ended up in chapter 8, in verse 40. It says, but Philip, this was after witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, Paul may have met Philip soon after he was saved and come to know him. Look at chapter 9, shortly after Paul was saved, in verses 26 to 30. It says that when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Or, after his second missionary journey, in chapter 18, verse 22, it says, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. So why did Luke mention Philip, that Philip had four daughters who prophesied? Well, it doesn't say. But my guess is to highlight the importance of women in God's work. You see, all this women and ministry and women and society. Let me tell you something. Jesus, in the early church, elevated the status of women in society, and particularly in the work of the church, more than anyone. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 36, down to verse 38. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and his And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, first part of it. It shall come to pass in that day, in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Verses 10 and 11 refer to a prophet named Agabus. God sent his messenger from Judea to Caesarea. Where do we hear that familiar name before in Luke's record? Well, you got to go back to Acts chapter 11, verse 27, down to verse 30. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. What was his prophecy? He predicted Paul's future imprisonment. Agabus didn't urge the apostle not to go, but simply delivered God's message. After this, the disciples accepted God's will in the matter of Paul going to Jerusalem. Look at it again in verses 12 to 14. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Paul's response is very interesting. What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? The imagery of his words is washing clothes by pounding with stones. Biblical scholars call this Paul's Gethsemane moment, referring to Jesus' prayer in the garden. Remember Jesus in Luke 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." There are two lessons for us as Christians today. First of all, ministry does not ever end. It changes its shape. See, God is sovereign over His plans and His servants. There's no retirement from ministry until we meet Him in glory. And then the second lesson is that ministry always involves suffering. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul said, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." So ministry doesn't end, and ministry always involves suffering in some form at some point. You have a great day.